Bibles, if you would, please, to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 this morning. I'm going to read verse 1 to begin. You can follow with me in your Bibles as I read that verse for you. Hebrews chapter 11, and I'll read verse 1. The Bible says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Let's bow, please, for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning. Come out today, Father, and are in this place. We thank you for those who are watching on live stream and those who are listening on the radio, Father. And I pray that by your Holy Spirit, you would open the lips of your servant to speak in the heart of everyone. That, Father, you might minister to us from the Word of God by the Holy Spirit. That, Father, you might teach us, that you might change us, that you might challenge us. Perhaps today you would comfort us. Perhaps today you might bring someone to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. But, Father, I just pray you do your bidding and accomplish your will, that we might be the recipients of your grace and your blessing this morning as we look into your word. Guide us, Lord. Direct us. Honor yourself. Glorify your Son. Edify your people. Save the lost. And we'll thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. This is the Bible's definition of faith. And what does it mean? Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Well, the word faith comes from the Greek word pistis, which means persuasion or conviction. Substance comes from the Greek word hypostasis, which means support or essence. Hoped for comes from the Greek word elpidzo, which means expectation. And evidence comes from the Greek word elenkos, which means proof. And so faith is a persuasion. And persuasion is the essence of our expectation and the proof of the things you cannot see. One commentator put it this way: faith gives reality and proof of things unseen, treating them as if they were already objects of sight rather than of hope. In Hebrews chapter 11, we have God's example of people whose lives were exemplary of faith. This has been called God's Hall of Faith. And so here we have these people that are defined by what they did, and what they did was the result of their faith, what they believed. Great men and women whose names are well known and synonymous with faith. People like Abel and Enoch, Noah and Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Rahab, Gideon, Barak, Samson, David, and Samuel are all in chapter 11. And how did they do what they did? By faith. 16 times the phrase "by faith" is used in Hebrews chapter 11 alone. They lived their lives by faith. They lived their lives persuaded in the truth of God's word. Like the Apostle Paul, who wrote this: "I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day." Paul's life was the evidence of his faith. And dear one here today, your life is the evidence of your faith. How you live, where you go, what you do, how you are, is all evidence of the faith that you really have, not the faith you say you have. A man may say he hath faith, but faith without works is dead, or it's just empty boasting. Right. And so a lot, everybody says they have faith, but you know what? What we do in our lives is the evidence, yes, of the reality of the faith that we say we have. It is faith, absolute persuasion in the truth of the Word of God, that enables a Christian to know and observe 2 Corinthians 4:18, where the Bible says, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. This is faith. Because this is what faith sees. Faith sees the invisible. Faith sees the unseen. That which the eye cannot see. And so what did these people in Hebrews chapter 11 see by faith that caused them to live their lives as they did? Listen, these were real human beings just like you and I. They lived on planet Earth just like you and I. They had jobs, they had families, they had needs, they had problems, they had situations and circumstances, they had pressures. They had all the things that we have, and yet they lived by faith. Yet their faith was of such consequence in their lives that they have been written down in the eternal Word of God as examples of faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. What did they see that caused them to live the way they did and to give their lives the way they gave? Well, number one, I think we find in verses 13 and 14 of Hebrews chapter 11, they saw a country. Look with me in verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. They live their lives on this planet as if they were going somewhere else. They lived there, they walked here like they were seeking somewhere else. Yes, they were here. And yes, they did what they did. And yes, they lived their lives. But it was like they were always headed somewhere else than this planet, than this place. Their faith was not just some wishful thinking, but it had a foundation, which was the promises of God. And the Bible says that they were persuaded. That means they were convinced of it. They were confident of it. They trusted in these promises that God had given them. And not only were they persuaded, but it said they embraced the promises of God. That means they took the promises into their own arms and held on to them and would not let them go. They took the promises of God and embraced them and held them to the bitter end, if I may put it that way. Nothing could persuade them away from the promises because they were persuaded in the promises. And it said not only were they persuaded and embraced, but it says they confessed. Or in other words, they acknowledged that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Where do you live? Well, I'm temporarily on earth. I'm just a stranger here, passing through. You see, I'm a pilgrim on my way to somewhere else. It's nice here. Listen, when I go on vacation, I like staying in a nice hotel. And it's nice to be in a hotel, but that's not my home. It's nice to be in a nice hotel where they make your bed every day, amen? They give you them little samples every morning. But that's not where I live. See, I'm just passing through. I'm just staying there for a while. And that's what this is talking about. That's how these people thought. They saw a country that they were headed for. And they're only going to get there. They got to travel through here. So they're just strangers. They're just pilgrims. They did not see this present earth as their final destination or their permanent home. Why? Because they saw another country. Look at verse 16. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wow. You see, they desired a better country. Now, I want to tell you, folks, I'm glad to live in America. How about you?
Amen.
I'd rather live in America than any place else on planet Earth. I'm glad I live here. I'm glad for the freedoms, and I'm glad for the plenty that I enjoy because I live in this great country. But you know what? I'm looking for a better country. There's a better country than the United States of America. Oh, you won't find it on planet Earth. But there's a better country. And the Bible says here that they were looking for a better country. What kind of country? A heavenly country. As much as we can enjoy ourselves here in America, my dear friend, we're just strangers and pilgrims. We're headed for a better country. That's what we should be looking for. A country that cannot be seen with the human eye. A country that cannot be touched with the human hand. A better country. Paul calls it a heavenly kingdom in 2 Timothy 4:8. Jesus called it the kingdom of heaven in Matthew 7:21. And John calls it the kingdom of God in Revelation 12:10. Now that's a country. I want you to notice verse 15, though, if you would with me. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. That word mindful comes from the Greek word mnemonuo. It means to exercise the memory. It means to rehearse. It means what happens was they kept walking through this life and just kept leaving everything behind because they're headed toward the better country. They're headed toward a heavenly country. And they didn't rehearse in their mind all the pleasures and all the sinful things of the things behind them, in whether they were in Egypt or Mesopotamia or wherever they were in Babylon. No, no, no. They weren't. That wasn't their country. This isn't their country. That's their country. And they didn't keep rehearsing all the things. You know, every time Israel rehearsed what they had in Egypt, every time they rehearsed what they left behind, they always ended up in trouble, didn't they? Yep. Amen. You know, Christians, we could do the same thing, can't we? We get saved, we start living that Christian life, and all of a sudden we start looking back and we start exercising our memory to the past. And we rehearse the past. It'll always get you into trouble. It'll always draw you away. You see, the people of God have always been called out. We're sanctified, the Bible says. That means we are taken out. That means we are set aside by God for Him. And so the people of God have always been called out to be separate, to be in the world but not of the world. Called to a new life, a life of faith and worship, a spiritual-centered life. A Christ-centered life. In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul, by inspiration of God, wrote this in 2 Corinthians 6:17. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. The Bible tells us in Romans 6:4 that we're supposed to walk in newness of life. Listen, the day I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior, I entered into new life in Christ. I became a new creature in Christ. And I've been walking in the newness of my life in Christ ever since. Amen. Forgetting those things which are behind, pressing toward the mark. Looking to that better country. Realizing all these things might be nice, but this ain't home. I'm headed to my country, my heavenly country. This requires a coming out, doesn't it? Or a separation. You see, before I was saved, I was in the world and I was of the world. But when I got saved, God took me out of the world. Now I'm still in the world physically, but I'm not of the world. The reason so many born-again Christians go back into worldly lifestyles can be attributed to being mindful of that country from whence they came out. Exercising that memory. You remember when Egypt was such a horrible place to the Jewish people? Remember that? They were under bondage, and they were crying out to God, get us out of here, get us out of here. God sent Moses to deliver them, and God, by a great, mighty, powerful hand, delivers Israel from Egypt, did all those plagues, opened up the Red Sea so they could go across on dry land. And they get out there, and what's the first thing they do? They start thinking about old Egypt and build themselves a golden calf. And then they start thinking about back in Egypt, about the leeks and the onions and the garlic. I'm telling you, folks, you're pretty hard up when you start lusting after leeks and onions and garlics. But that's what they did. See, when they were in Egypt, they couldn't wait to get out. It was horrible. It was terrible. But now they're out. And instead of looking back and seeing the bondage and the rigor They looked back and remembered the melons and the onions and the leeks and the garlics. Don't you understand that's how it works? Egypt was trying to call them back through their memory, through rehearsing the things of Egypt. And you know what? They even talked about the flesh pots of Egypt when they cried out against God because they didn't have any meat. And so all these old memories are calling them back. But the problem is, if they would have went back, what would they have found? The rigor and the bondage and the slavery. That's what they would have found. So when we exercise our memories toward our old life, it's always going to look rosier and more pleasurable and more fun. But when you get back there, it'll be the same old slavery.
Amen.
They and we are not called to be like other nations. Remember Israel? They had a king. And who was their king? Their king was God. But they got to the point where they wanted to be like all the nations. And they wanted a king. And then they got a king. And some of their kings were good and some of their kings were bad. We're not called to be like the other nations. We're called to be a people separated unto God. The Bible says a holy nation, a peculiar people, showing forth the praises of Him who hath called us out of darkness, Egypt, into His marvelous light, the promised land. My friend, I was for a portion of my life, I lived in darkness. And when I trusted Jesus as my Savior, He took me out of the dark, delivered me from the kingdom of darkness, and He translated me into the kingdom of His dear Son, into the light. Oh, I've been walking in the light ever since. Never regretted it.
No.
Faith sees a country. Do you see that country? That heavenly country? But the second thing they saw is also in verse 16, they saw a city. But now they desire a better country, that is in heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city. Not only did their faith see a country, but their faith saw a city prepared for them by God. And what city is it? Look at verse 10. For He looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Now I want to tell you, friends, there's some beautiful cities on planet Earth. Sometimes, you know, I get these things that come up on my screensaver, and it'll be pictures of these. Did you ever see a picture of Dubai at night? It's gorgeous. Don't want to live there. But these pictures of these beautiful, glistening cities, especially at night, you know, they look so gorgeous. That's the ghetto compared to the city that God has prepared for them that love Him. These people were looking for a better country. They were looking for a city. It wasn't built by man. It wasn't built with rocks and stone and concrete and steel. No, they were looking for a city whose maker and builder is God Himself. It's also mentioned in Hebrews chapter 12, if you want to look over there. Look at verse 22. But ye are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. Wow, did you see what this city is? It's God is there, and angels are there. And all the redeemed of the church are there. And all the souls of just men are there. That's a city. Even the best cities on planet Earth have crime. Every city has its ghettos and its places you don't want to go and you don't want to be found at night. But the Bible says when we get there, none of that will be there.
Amen.
Turn with me to Revelation chapter 3. Keep your place in Hebrews, but go with me, if you can, to Revelation chapter 3 and look at verse 12. The Bible says, Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from God, and I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. That's that city they saw by faith. John also calls it the beloved city and the great city and the holy city. And he writes in Revelation 21:3, "And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof." My friends, the Bible says the city has streets of gold and gates of pearl and a foundation of precious stones. In Revelation 21:27, the Bible says, "And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in it." The only people that will ever be walking on the golden streets in heaven are the saved. That's what it says. The nations of the saved shall walk in it. You say, "Well, why do I need to get saved? Well, you need to get saved from the penalty of your sin. What is that? Eternity in the lake of fire, according to Revelation chapter 21. And when you get saved by trusting Christ as your Savior, not only are you saved from the eternal torment, you are saved unto that city. And your feet will walk on streets of gold. In this city, asphalt is gold. This is the city seen by faith, embraced and confessed. This is the city of the redeemed of all the ages, saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, the Messiah of Israel and the Savior of the world. These pilgrims and strangers of Hebrews chapter 11 looked for a better country. They looked for a city whose builder and maker was God, and so they could pass through this life and not be so confined and not be so tempted and not be so drawn away. Why? Because they saw they were headed somewhere else. Listen, when we go on vacation, we pass all kinds of places on the road. We'll pass, you know, the great Onyx Caves, and we'll pass, you know, the Antique Mall, and we'll pass, you know, the waterfalls and all. Oh, we just fly right by them. Why? That's not where we're headed. We could never get where we're going if we kept stopping everywhere that was along the way. But we have a destination. And so we're driving along, we appreciate the scenery, but we're not pulling over at every little thing. Why? Because we have a place we're headed. We have a destination. And that's how these people lived their lives in chapter 11. They had a country. They had a city. Because, and my last point is this, they were citizens. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Keep your place in Hebrews. Ephesians chapter 2, please. My verse is verse 19. "Now therefore we are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God." You know what I see in that verse? Bible says, you know what? There's coming a day. Right now, what am I? I'm a stranger and a pilgrim, right? I'm just passing through. But there's coming a day when I'll be no longer a stranger. I'll be home. There's coming a day when I'll no longer be a pilgrim. I will have arrived at my final destination. And what is that destination? A heavenly country. A city whose builder and maker is God. In verse 19, it says that we are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints. Now, who are these saints that are mentioned here? Who is this household of God? Well, verse 11 begins to tell us. Wherefore, remember that ye, being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants and promises, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. You see, the believing Jews looked forward to the coming of the Messiah by faith. God said a Messiah is coming. They believed him. They embraced it. They were persuaded of it. They wouldn't let go of it. And they confessed it to everybody they met. Yes, the Messiah is coming, and we have faith in him. We're trusting in the Messiah to come. And they worshiped God by faith. And they saw in the sacrifices the pictures of the coming Lamb of God who would take away the sins of the world. Now, since Christ the Messiah has come, and the Bible says the Jewish nation as a whole received him not, he turned to the Gentiles who would receive him and did receive him as the Savior. And so now Paul writes, "For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all." And so the Messiah of Israel came, and he became the Savior of the world. And now, both Jew and Gentile, if they believe on the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, as Savior, they are forgiven of their sins, they are granted eternal life, and we all become one body. In other words, we are all citizens of the heavenly country, we're all citizens of the heavenly city, we're all members of the household of God together. How do people get saved in the Old Testament? By faith in the Messiah to come. How do people get saved in the New Testament times and today? By faith in the Messiah who has come. The Bible says, "For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Look what it says. "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." My friend, if you're going to decide to just wait and see, it'll be too late. Because we're saved by grace through faith. And faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. My dear friend, when you die, if you have not trusted in Christ your Savior, you're going to meet God, but it'll be too late to be saved, because now there's no more faith, there's only sight. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. Why? Because you got to believe him. That's what faith is, isn't it? Believing. I've never seen Jesus Christ, but I believe. I've never seen that country yet, but I believe. I haven't seen that city yet, but I believe. And my life is lived in light of that faith. We're saved by faith, Ephesians 2:8. We're children of God by faith, Galatians 3:26. We are given the righteousness of God by faith, Philippians 3:9. We're justified by faith, Romans 5:1. We have access to God in prayer by faith, Romans 5:2. And Romans 10:17 says, "Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Yes. Genuine saving faith comes from hearing the word of God, believing the word of God, and acting upon the word of God. The Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Guess what? I called upon the name of the Lord one day and got saved. I didn't have to climb a mountain. I didn't have to swim an ocean. I didn't have to do any great feats. I didn't have to give a lot of money. I didn't have to promise anything. I received a free gift from God. Why? Because he said I could. Just because he said it. Therefore, we as children of God by faith are to live by faith, Hebrews 10:38, and walk by faith, 2 Corinthians 5:7. We're to live our lives looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, looking for a better country in heavenly, looking for a greater city, a heavenly city. Life on planet Earth is only a journey. It's only a pilgrimage, a temporary situation as we forge ahead seeking that better country. And not only a country, now here, listen to this, it's getting personal now. It's not only a country. It's not just a city. but it's a home. John 14, Jesus said this, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. I am a citizen of a country, and I'm a citizen of a city, but I am also a member of a household in heaven, because I've been born into the family of God by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. I'm not just looking for a country. I'm not just looking for a city. I'm looking for a home. You see, when I get to that country, I'm going to go to the city. And when I go to the city, I'm going to the Father's house. And in the Father's house, there's a mansion waiting just for me and just for you, if you're part of the family. He's got enough mansions in his house to give each of us one. You say, "Preacher, I can't get a hold of that." Yeah, I know. Your brain's too small. But I got a little glimpse of it one time when I was out in Palm Springs, California, visiting my uncle. And up on the hill was this great big dome. It was pretty big, huge thing. He said, "That's Bob Hope's house." I went, "Whoa, that's some kind of house." He said, "Actually, it's a house, and inside of it are four houses." He said, "Yeah, he built this huge house, and then he built a house underneath there for him, and then he built three other houses for each one for his children." And so if Bob Hope can make a house with four mansions in it, I think my Heavenly Father can make a house with many mansions in it. Amen? That's what I'm seeking. And because of that, of what I seek, I live the way I live. Because of where I'm headed, I walk the way I walk. And because what I'm looking for, that's why I am the way I am. The way and the why and the what of your life are determined by who and what you are seeking most. And what you seek most reveals what you see. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If you are only motivated by what you see, you're not headed where I'm headed. You need to look up. You need to seek a country and a city and a home. You need to be born into the family of God and become a fellow citizen with the saints. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I ask to you today who are born again, you're saved, you know for sure you're part of the household of God, and you are actually seeking that country and that city and that home that I spoke about today. Would you lift your hand up and say, "Yes, I'm on board, I know. And I'm sure of it. I'm persuaded." All right, thank you. You can put them down. Then let me ask you this. You seek and you see the heavenly, but be careful, because the old world keeps calling you back, doesn't it? Be careful not to exercise the memory of the past, because it'll only bring you that which will draw you back and will hide from you the things you ran away from in the first place. Do not rehearse your old life through memory, for the old man will take you back there. The Lord encourages us, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. While we look not on the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Christian, be like these people in Hebrews chapter 11. Walk with your eyes on a better country, your heart toward a better city, and your hope that better home. Maybe you're here today, or watching or listening, and you've never been saved. Remember who the Bible says will walk in the heavenly city? The nations of them which are saved shall walk in it. The Philippian jailer once asked the Apostle Paul, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And Paul the Apostle said this, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Do you know the Bible says neither is there salvation in any other? For there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. If you want to be a citizen of a heavenly country and walk on streets of gold in the holy city and have a mansion in the Father's house, ye must, Jesus said, ye must be born again. And the Bible says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which are born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Today, my friend, you need to be born of God by his Spirit into his family, simply by receiving Christ as your Savior. You say, preacher, I need to do that. Well, the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you can do it right where you're sitting. It's a transaction between you and God. It's a faith transaction. And I'll help you pray if you want me to. And you can pray right where you sit and receive Christ as your Savior and be born again into God's family by faith. You say, preacher, I want to do that. Then I want you to look up at me if that's your desire. Don't look back down until I see. I'm going to look through each section. And if you'd like to pray and trust Christ as your Savior right where you're at, I want you to keep looking till I see you so I know that we can pray together. You say, yes, preacher, I need to be saved. Would you lift your hand if that's the case? I need to be saved. I'd like to trust Christ this morning before it's eternally too late. Father, we thank you this morning for the gospel of Christ. We thank you for the truth and the reality of the better country and a great city and the home in heaven. And Father, it's as real to us as anything we can see because we're persuaded of it and we've embraced it and will not let it go. And we confess that we're strangers and pilgrims here. Would you help us to live our lives like that? Would you help us to enjoy our journey, but at the same time, keep our eyes on the destination? Would you help us to go through this life realizing we're just pilgrims, just passing through. And Father, may that faith that we have find its evidence in our lives and the way we live and the way we talk. Help us, my Father, today. Perhaps there's some here today that need to come and talk to you about that journey. Maybe they've wandered off the path. Maybe they've slowed down and taken too many detours and stopped off too many places. Maybe they've even been called backwards. Father, they realize today they need to get back on that path. And I pray, Lord, if there's anyone in this place that needs to trust Christ as their Savior, you would not let them go. Keep on their heart, keep on their mind until they trust Christ and have eternal life as a free gift. We love you, we praise you, we thank you. Bless the invitation in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. We're going to sing our closing hymn, number 310, Whiter Than Snow. Maybe this morning God spoke into your heart, and maybe you realized, even in the baby dedication, you realize your life hasn't been dedicated as it ought to be. Your life hasn't been exemplary. These children that were dedicated today and all the children in this church are looking up to you. What kind of an example are you? If our children follow you, where will they end up? What will they end up being like? Maybe you need to come this morning and say, Lord, right now I don't want them to follow me because I don't want them to end up where I'm at. Maybe you need to come and pray. Maybe you need to come today and just say, I'm not as dedicated as I ought to be. Maybe you need to come today and say, Lord, I want to set my path as a pilgrim. I want to enjoy what I can, but I want to look toward the heavenly city. And I want my life to be an exemplary evidence of my faith. Why don't you come and pray? If you need to be saved, you have questions about going to heaven, you come and see me right here. We'll help you, all right? As we sing.